you're breathing in this fresh air and you're in a place where you're moving your body gradually, and you're not doing, you don't have to do CrossFit. It's more of just being outdoors, and the gradual movement is what our bodies need to feel.
What does walking mean to you? As a human biped who has the advantage of a greater field of vision and arms that are free for other uses, how much is walking a part of your days? Did you know that something as simple as a daily brisk walk can mean living a healthier life by helping you strengthen your bones, improve your sleep, maintain a healthy weight, lighten your mood, support your joints, lower your blood pressure, strengthen the heart, and even help slow down mental decline? But then came COVID. How many people do you know who were afraid to go outside and walk when the COVID shutdown first happened? Maybe they're still afraid to leave the house. Which brings us to today's guest, Jennifer Walsh, a New York City-based journalist and entrepreneur and a nature advocate who, interestingly, had developed a media company pre-COVID where she interviewed CEOs and business leaders while walking through Central Park. Her program is called Walks with Walsh. In 2019, Jennifer co-authored the research report on one of the wellness trends for that year, identified by the Global Wellness Summit, called Prescribing Nature. The report talked about a pediatrician in D.C. who writes prescriptions for park times for his patients. Turns out healthcare providers call this kind of prescription ecotherapy. That same 2019 wellness trend also talked about the dangers of nature deficit disorder and how, as just one example, 82% of the population in North America lives in urban areas, where actually getting out of a building or a car to walk for more than a few blocks takes effort and planning. Turns out having green plants in your house isn't enough. You'll hear from Jennifer today why green exercise and biophilic designs were on the rise pre-COVID and why recent research continues to show that nature is not an amenity, but a necessity. And then post-COVID, Jennifer's message was only magnified. She became the eyes and ears of a shut-down New York City. And through it all, the ambulances, the pots clanging for healthcare workers every evening, the temporary hospital tents put up in her beloved Central Park, she just kept walking. And she's never stopped advocating the importance of getting out in nature. Her Instagram photos of an empty New York are, as she says, beautiful and heartbreaking at the same time. Then she began posting scientific facts about building your immunity with the help of trees. Then came historical facts and figures from the 1918 Spanish flu, such as medics finding that their patients in outdoor treatment rooms recovered more quickly than those indoors. Turns out the fresh air and sunlight even reduced infection in the medical staff. Can we conclude that it is, in fact, safer and more immune-boosting to take a socially distanced walk than to stay behind inside during the 2020 pandemic? Listen as Jennifer expounds on the topic of walking and nature before and after COVID, and get ready to be inspired and to lace up your walking shoes. Hello, welcome to the 29th floor of the Hearst Building in beautiful downtown Manhattan. We're with a very famous redhead. Can you tell me who you are and what you do, ma'am?
Miss? You're the famous redhead, Kim Marshall.
Oh, I see. Okay, good.
My name is Jennifer Walsh, and I have a company called Walk with Walsh, where I interview people outdoors in nature and discuss and talk about the importance of nature in our lives, our daily lives, and why it's important to spend time outside and also integrate nature in indoors.
Oh, and we're looking outside at nature.
It's a beautiful day in New York City.
What did you do this morning, Missy?
Oh my gosh, I had such a great morning. I wanted to do that every day. I told Susie this morning, can you just come and walk with me every day? So there were a few delegates from the Global Wellness Institute that were here yesterday for the media day, and we went for a beautiful walk. We went on a wellness walk that I usually lead in Central Park, and we got to do it this morning and had a delicious turmeric latte during the walk.
That's good.
It's just a beautiful, beautiful way to start the day.
And I was snoring. Thank you so much. But I did my walk the night
before.
And
I did text you at 7 o'clock. I was like, you're not going to be up.
You're dead. Okay, very good. Well, next time. I promise.
I would love that.
So I want to know, number one, how this idea for Walks with Walsh was born.
That's a great question. I didn't plan for it. I certainly didn't plan for it.
The best things in life.
Yes, right? So I've had multiple businesses in my past but that were very, very planned for. And this was more of an exploratory kind of, just kind of happened where I've been a runner my entire life. So I've been a competitive runner of marathons and triathlons and even a half Ironman race. One half Ironman, that's it. But I was always walking in the park. And I was walking with my dog. And then my dog passed away. And I thought I would no longer walk in the park because why would I need to?
What was the breed? Just because I
She was a mutt. Like a 65-pound love bug of joy and happiness.
And that was your place. And you thought, I'm not going
to
go
back. Yeah, I don't need to go because it was really for the dog. And then I realized I was going more. I was actually in the park more after she passed. And I thought, I wasn't going for her. I was going for me. I didn't even realize it. And I was always there. So people would call me and say, I'm going to come walk with you sometime. And I would go for walks and we would have great conversations, like wonderful conversations. So we would just keep talking and walking. And I thought this would be really fun to do with friends that are CEOs and founders and video, Facebook Live just kind of started. I'm like, wouldn't it be fun to do live videos?
So you go from girlfriends to CEOs and founders? That's scary.
They're all kind of the same mix of, and everyone's like doing different jobs in their lives, you know?
Right.
Whether they're a stay-at-home mom or librarian or doctor or nurse or whatever. It was just fun to kind of hear their stories. And then when I was interviewing these people, this is where the real, oh my gosh, moment started. They're all like really leading healthy lives. But the one thing they kept saying was, this feels so good, but I never get outside. And I thought, wait a second, there's this one component no one's doing. They're like, I never get outside. And I thought, but you know it's good for you and it feels good. Why aren't you going? And that's when I said, okay, I need to start reading about nature. Like, why aren't we going outside? And that was that was a moment where I said, okay.
Well, I also think it's wonderful that by serendipity, your last name started with a W.
Does
walking.
How
does that happen?
How does that happen?
But I will say, I met you. I had the pleasure of getting on a bus and our many bus rides when we were in Italy for the Global Wellness Summit in Italy 2 years ago. And there was this beautiful redhead and I was like, is this seat open? And we started chatting. What happened?
Yeah. Well, this was the most I love serendipity and I love the Global Wellness Summit. Because they are, you're connected in a way you can't describe. And the fact that you put your bags next to me and here you are, vivacious and lively and talking so early in the morning to all these people. And here I am, a newbie, and I don't know anybody. I thought, sure, I'll sit next to this very lively redhead.
Oh, no.
And you put your bags down. You say, hi, I'm Kim Marshall. What's your name? Like, I'm Jennifer Walsh. And because we've been trying to get together and speak for...
Right. And we're missing each other.
Oh my gosh, here's the missing link. You're sitting next to me on bus for the next 30 minutes. And
I remember...
And it was love at first sight.
It was the band of redheads. But tell me... Or tell our listeners about your background. You were an accomplished editor in New York, is that right?
Actually, I started a company in Florida called Beauty Bar and beautybar.com. And it was an idea to take beauty out of a department store setting. So this is like pre-Sephora and pre-Ulta.
Oh.
But I was also writing for magazines at the time. And I was doing makeup artistry for Rachel Hunter, like at the model way back when. Salma Hayek, John Travolta, all these celebrities.
And
then I just opened this little store. You know, I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know how to do it. But I knew I wanted to take beauty and do it in a different way. And I opened this little store and no one knew what Philosophy was or Fresh or Kiehl's. And they thought I was all crazy for opening this store.
Did you have those brands?
Yeah. So I was doing TV segments and I was showing these products in 1997. And then I opened the store in 1998. And it was a lot of fun because I didn't have anything to go off of. I had no, it was all white space and I could have fallen on my face and not known what was going to happen next. And I didn't know, but I just wanted people to come into a store and feel like they're coming into my living room. So there's no pressure. I didn't want people to feel like, you have to buy 5 items of makeup. I just want you to come in and just feel good in my store. And I remember I painted the walls green and beautiful light, like the room we're in right now, beautiful light. It was close to the beach. I used lots of like natural wood in the store, lots of plants and trees. I remember these people would come in and say, why are you focusing so much on the other stuff and not the products? I thought, they're all tied together.
Yeah.
Not realizing it's all biophilic design. Now I know it was all biophilic.
Uh-huh.
And I thought,
bringing the outside in.
Yeah. Bringing all the components of nature indoors. I did all of it. I didn't even realize, but it was all, it like felt right. It was all like my heart song.
You were drawn to it.
I was drawn to it.
And then for years, you had this career in New York, right?
I came back here 10 years ago after I sold my business. So I got bought out in 2010, worked with a new company through 2011. And then I started working for another company in Amsterdam for beauty. They asked me to help them roll out beauty stores in the US.
Okay.
And then I've been writing all along, and then I started writing for Good Housekeeping and Prevention, a bunch of different magazines.
One thing leads to another. But you know, the thing about feeling good, this led you to join what we were here for, was to cover the trends.
Yes.
Reveal for 2020. But last year, you were one of the trends.
I know.
Prescribing nature.
Yes.
And you're talking about nature is medicine.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And the parks as a prescription, writing a prescription for parks and the nature economy. Yeah. Tell me some of the surprising things about that trend.
Well, it was surprising that I didn't realize it was almost more accepted worldwide than it was in the U.S.
Hmm.
So Scotland and the U.K. are really doing these programs with their doctor programs, and it's being prescribed. So that was fascinating to me. And I just kept learning more. And the more I learned, the more I kept thinking, this makes so much sense, mm-hmm. right? It's common sense. But in the U.S., we're so driven by success and numbers and money. And I feel like the other European markets are just much more open to being a little bit slower.
Yeah, and I read where one Finnish researcher said you need 5 hours of nature a month minimum. Just get out there and soak it up. We just walked to lunch and we were like, we're not taking a cab, we're not taking a lift, we're not going to the subway, we're going to walk. And it was cold, but it was really, really invigorating.
It's refreshing.
Yeah.
And it's interesting when you start doing the studies of how much more it impacts you if you walk on a tree-lined street. Your blood pressure goes down. You close it, open tabs in your brain because all of our tabs are going all the time, just like a computer.
Hmm.
And if we don't shut them down, we're constantly in that almost like fight or flight mode, which is so bad for us. We're under this constant stress and trauma, and we don't even realize that we're under the stress and trauma because we're just so used to it.
Yeah.
But you hike, and I know you know, and it's a really compelling thing to then be able to write about it for the Global Wellness Summit and the Institute. It was such a gift to really unearth these programs and hotels and brands that are really incorporating it and everything they're doing, which is fantastic. And getting to meet so many great people that are all on this planet wanting to do the same thing.
Yeah, there's so much I could talk to you about. But I mean, I remember I went hiking in Yosemite to Vogelsang, is the campsite it's really about an 8-hour hike. Mm-hmm. Like your treadmill's on 7. You're just going up the whole time, right? And I just was like, oh my God. My girlfriends, some were faster, some were slower. So I found myself alone for a couple of the hours. And you know that trend yesterday, religion and wellness. And I was like, I was praying.
Oh, you know, absolutely.
Just because the trees and the thing and the artwork and the colors. And I was like, thank you. What an artist. And I mean, I'm sure you feel that.
Okay, this might sound crazy, but I often cry. I have tears of joy of just the beauty of it because it's a gift. And if we don't spend time in nature, how are we expected to protect the planet? If we don't go out in our own backyards to see the plants and the trees and the bugs, then how are we expected to really understand the magnitude of what the world needs right now? And it's really when you start unearthing that and thinking, oh my gosh, we really need to just take the time to go outside.
Now, you walk with some pretty powerful people. I've seen some of your videos. Tell me some of the surprising reactions you've gotten. I mean, because it says President Obama liked walking meetings Einstein liked to get outside. Steve Jobs liked it. I mean, there's a reason, right?
Absolutely.
But what sort of natural reactions have you observed?
Well, it's been really fun to hear the conversations get much deeper than they usually would. Usually, because I've been in a studio, I've been on TV for 23 years talking about business and beauty. And the conversation is usually really edited and short and whatever. And I always want to go into more conversations. So being able to walk in the park and talk, people open up more, they're more lively, they're more relaxed. And then to hear people's connections to why they like walking in the park or why they like walking in nature and how it's actually impacted their lives has been so interesting. So doing this video series has been fascinating to me. And even when I just do regular walks in the park, not just the video series, it's just beautiful to see people experience and say, oh, I didn't think about touching things because I always say, when we go outside, don't forget to touch the plants.
Aww.
Because we're not using our senses.
No.
We're inside all day long. So we have to get outside to really activate our senses.
Well, you know, I'm bad. I live in LA and I'm so lucky I can work out of the house. And I often take conference calls on the hike trail.
Oh, that's great.
I try to put it on mute when I breathe heavy. But I'm just like, if it's a hill, okay. And then my dog's like, get back here. But But in general, I feel so blessed yeah. because then I have the energy to come back. I mean, that sitting all day, mm-hmm. it cannot be good for you.
No, it's so true. And it's energizing. And it's like you said before, it's like a spiritual, like we had the trend yesterday. It's also like, it's very spiritual for people. And I think it's like for me, because I am Christian, I go to church, but that is being outdoors in nature is my church.
It's your church. Yeah. Well, I read too that as the decades pass, more and more people live in urban environments. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody also wants hard science, hard research. So do you know some of the hard science that says we need nature?
Well, there's so much of it. I mean, there's like, thank God for Dr. Lee, who invented forest bathing, who really kind of discovered the gift of forest bathing. I've studied off his work and he's fascinating. He was just at the Global Wellness Summit in Singapore. But there's so much, thank God, more data and science behind it. But how it really affects your breathing, how it really affects your immune building abilities, your creativity, also helps with depression, diabetes. It's a matter of what nature's doing for us. It's like I say, it's like your Advil every day. If you can go outside and just go for like a 20-minute walk, think of it as your Advil. Or if people have a hangover, I always say, just go for a walk in some water and you're pretty good.
Well, you know, I tell you, it's not warm in New York today.
No.
It's not warm.
It is not warm.
Do you know what the temp was this morning when you took the
31?
Group? 31. So what do you tell people who are afraid to walk in the cold?
It's really good for you because, again, we're indoors all the time and people are getting sick because we're all indoors at the same time.
Right.
So when people say, oh, I don't want to go outside and get sick, it's the opposite because we're not outdoors. But it's very invigorating. And again, you're breathing in this fresh air and you're in a place where you're moving your body gradually and you don't have to do CrossFit. It's more of just being outdoors and the gradual movement is what our bodies need to feel.
And now a word from our sponsor, Carillon Miami Wellness Resort, and their executive coach and life strategist, who'll be talking about career and financial health. Dr. Fleming, you have a position at Carillon Miami that not many spas offer. You're an executive coach and life strategist. So normally people go to spas for your typical beauty and body treatments, but you're there to also help guests and residents with career and financial health. How surprised were people to find your services on the menu?
Hi. First of all, thank you again for having me for this conversation.
Sure.
And to get right into that, I think they're absolutely surprised, but pleasantly surprised. Because think about it. People don't necessarily come to a spa or a resort so that they can, you know, really think about their career or their life. In fact, they're coming there to get away from that stuff, right? But the reality of it is, Kim, is that they go back to it. And so, you know, for the person that's coming there to relax, they get an opportunity to do that. And I like to say we give them the tools to kind of reset and go back in with a different plan and a different strategy for how they can really live and lead the way that they truly desire.
Yeah, I think without financial and career health, you're not really healthy because it feeds so much of who we are. But also, I look back on the early episodes of the Global Wellness Summit podcast, and actually we talked to you, Shaniqua, on episode 3, where we talked about gut health with Naveen Jain, and then also on episode 5, when we talked to Neil Jacobs about 6 senses. And really, looking back, it seems so prescient right now that back then we discussed burnout and reimagining success. Yes. So how do you think the COVID shutdown has impacted what executives are looking for these days?
You know, that's a great question. And when I think back to what we talked about before, and I look at where we are now, it's essentially, you know, why I do what I do, because at the core of my work is foresight strategy and really shifting and changing culture. And so when I think about COVID and all the things that are happening and all the things that our executives are dealing with, there's a lot of fast-paced, you know, stressful decision-making that is happening right now. And the impact that this is having on executives is we're having to prioritize being well over doing well. Because we're seeing now more than ever before, if you're not well, nothing else matters. And so, you know, the work that we do and especially in our Well Executive program is really rooted in not just mindfulness, but design thinking. And so what this does is it allows them to really reimagine how they may be leading and moving their companies or organizations forward, and then design and really create the future. So it's so important because every fiber of our being really is connected. And if any part of you is disconnected, you're not going to get the results you want. And so in a time like this, there is no room for disconnection. And being that we're Zooming everything, and it's the way we, right now, Zoom is the way we socialize and the way we work. And so there has to be some kind of way to create a distinction. And it's really causing executives to just think about, you know, how are you supporting your people, and how are you emphasizing resilience, and how are you emphasizing recharge and reset? So I think it's an awesome opportunity for us to be at the forefront of helping people just stay well.
Yeah. And I cannot get over that there's a huge surge in the theory of leading with love, L-O-V-E. The Global Wellness Summit masterclass was just on that topic the other week. And that's what it sounds like. You're seeing that leaders are finding it works. Now, I've noticed, Shaniqua, that during the shutdown, this has been one of the most creative periods of my professional life. So I'm guessing that maybe people's reaction to coping with COVID job-wise is based on what they've been through before and their approach to obstacles. Do you find that to be kind of true?
Well, actually, I don't think they automatically go to that muscle memory. I think initially there's the panic, right? And there's anxiety about what's happening, and there's a lot of stress. And the reality of it is that creating the future or seeing yourself in the future is quite nerve-wracking. In fact, anxiety of change is really what they're experiencing. And so it's a human, you know, it's human nature for us to feel this strong desire to protect the status quo. And so what's happening is, even though I love what you said, we've navigated change before, we don't automatically go there. Automatically, what we do is we wake up every day and every morning trying to understand, how can we protect ourselves? How can we keep our sense of normal? And so something that comes in, no precursor, no warning, it disrupts everything. And so you can never underestimate the power of what we will do to self-protect. And so even though it's really not different in terms of a change is a change is a change is, it's different because most of us have never seen this in our lifetime.
Right.
And so it causes us to do one of three things. We either fight, or we just freeze. And so what we're seeing is that people are not understanding how to navigate this. And once we go through that, you know, it's like the stages of grief. Once we get through that initial stage, then we can start to get excited about it. But I think where we are now versus where we were 3 months ago, we're on that part of the curve where we're saying those that are fighters are figuring it out. Those that are frozen are probably going into a state of depression deeper than, you know, they ever probably thought they could. And those that are, you know, in that other state, they're just like really fleeing from it and finding something else that allows them to escape, you know, the feelings or the thoughts. And I think that can be a good thing, but it's not going to be a good thing if we don't return to a point where we realize what we have and where we go from here, we have to create it.
So speaking of that, can you give our listeners three tips for overcoming hopelessness? Because we hear every day about the jobless numbers, all the small and large businesses that are closing or shuttering because of the pandemic. What three tips can you give someone to give them hope in the career field?
Right. So the first one I'm going to say, and I love, you know, that you capped on leading with love. The first one is extend grace to yourself. Like, to really extend yourself a measure of grace that I don't see a lot of people giving to themselves. And to understand that, like you said, you've never seen something like this before. And even if you've navigated change, this is still different. So understand that you don't have to wake up or go to bed with all the answers. The second thing I would say is look for ways to highlight and elevate your strengths. During a time such as this, everyone has something that he or she can do to add a little bit more of a silver lining, right, to the situation. And so look for those strengths. I mean, I was just talking with someone today, and which kind of leads me to the third thing, help someone during this time. I know that sounds really odd because you're saying to yourself, well, I'm trying to figure it out for me. But I think it's in that moment of helping someone else, we're going to re-energize our ability to really move forward, because we're naturally problem solvers, or we're naturally solution finders. And so do that for someone else. And like I was saying, this individual was furloughed, and they actually were in healthcare, but they have a background in hospitality and tourism management, and they are phenomenal. And I just reminded them that your industry that you love is going through something that it's never seen before. And how powerful, how magical, how amazing would it be for you to bring all of those things that you don't even have to think second or twice about? How amazing would it be for you to bring that to an industry that you love when it needs you most? And so let's not think about how healthcare may have lost a gem. Let's think about what hospitality can gain in something like this. And I just think that's what we have to do. Let's look at what we can actually add to the situation and where we can make a difference, maybe for ourselves, but definitely also for others. And when we sow that seed in someone else, there's someone else that will inevitably do that for us, because that's just the way nature goes.
So your tips: extend grace to yourself, give yourself a little break here, help someone else, and then find what gifts you can rearrange and apply to another industry, right?
Absolutely. Oh. For your own.
Okay, very good. Well, Dr. Fleming, always, always fruitful to speak with you, my friend. And we shall do it again.
Yes, thank you.
It was so funny. I have a German friend who said when she was young, the nursery schools would put babies for their afternoon nap, bundle them up and put them on the porch to sleep.
Oh.
And I love that.
Wow, that's cute.
I know. And I tell my son, we have to be cold at night when we sleep. Oh, it's just the way to be. He's
yes.
Like, turn the heater up.
Oh, I keep my window open. Even when it's snowing out here in New York, my windows are open all the time.
Well,
all the time.
Let me ask you, what are some of the buildings, companies you've seen that are bringing the outside in, and what kind of ways are they doing it?
Well, there's so many. It's fun to kind of really research this. And I've been spending a lot of time at Serum B, and they're doing a lot of biophilic studies there as well, and so much work. But more even malls are doing it. Malls, there's a lot of use on the airport in Singapore.
Oh my gosh.
But there's
it's like a forest.
That's exactly it. It's exactly it. So doctor's offices are doing it. Hotels are doing it, especially here in New York. When you look around, you see all the hotels that are integrating nature in their rooms, just by the fabrics they're using on the beds, the walls of, you know, plants and trees and wildlife. It's really, really interesting how they're integrating, but also using the woods and the fire and the water wall. It's really great.
And the moss walls,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
And then I read that I think it can increase productivity by like 15%
yeah.
if you have just
more
some
plants.
Of nature in mm-hmm. there, even water trickling.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you mentioned Serum B a few times. What is that and what are you doing there?
So this all ties back to the Global Wellness Summit.
I know,
because
buddy.
It's so fun. It's that place where you all get connected. So I was in Italy at the summit, and I was actually talking to Dan Buettner of
Blue Zones. Same, yeah. He's so
and
cute.
He said, you know, you need to meet my friend. His name's Steve Nygren. He's the founder of this place called Serum B. I'm like, okay. Sure, that's great. And
yeah.
we get to meet Steve, and he's a lovely gentleman. And
in a bow tie.
I know, he's just adorable. He's just adorable. And then he's telling me all about where he created this town called Serum B. And I said, that sounds great. And we kept in touch a little bit. And then the media day here at Hearst Tower was a year ago. Mm-hmm. And he was here with a booth and talking about Serum B. And I met his chief marketing officer, Monica Olson. And it was like one of those things, like when I met you, it was fireworks. And I fell in love with her. And she's, because I do the video series, the Walk with Walsh video series, usually in Central Park. She said, no, I want you to come to Serum B.
Which is outside Atlanta.
25 minutes outside of Atlanta.
Okay.
It's really easy to get to, especially from here. It's like 2 hours or less. But you go there and it's the way we're supposed to live. And I remember saying to Steve Nygren, I've never seen anything like this. I said, this is like the most thoughtfully planned out place I've ever seen. He said, no, it's just common sense. Of course it is.
And community, you know, is so important.
It's
right?
all about how we are tied back to one another through nature. So it's nature and connection to one another. It's all there. The homes are closer together. They're built closer together. They're closer to the street to interact with one another when people walk by. It's you grow your own food. It's just the quality of life there is like no other.
What were some of the topics you covered on the Walks with Walsh series there?
We had some great, great people. The last one we just did was Pete Dominic. He's a comedian, and he has a really popular podcast called Stand Up with Pete.
Not more popular than ours.
Stand Up with Pete Dominic. But he's a comedian. That's his whole life, but was really fun because he's like very irreverent, really fast. He's really witty. But this conversation really slowed him down.
Aww.
And we talked about mental wellness and how nature has impacted his life. And I was really taken aback by how really open he was about how it has helped him heal going through like illness with his family and, you know, loss of a job. It was great. It was really just people like, yeah, open. Really, really open. And just to hear how people are connected to nature and how it's helped them. Yeah. It's been really interesting.
Now, I also know, Jen, that you work with certain brands. Tell mm-hmm. us, I mean, I always look at your shoes and I'm like, what is she wearing? What is Walks with the Walsh walk in?
That's funny. Yeah, I'm always about the shoes anymore, especially since I was a runner for so long. They're kind of, my feet are kind of messed up, but that's for another podcast. So I love, there's a brand called Vivo Barefoot. Mm-hmm. And Vivo Barefoot, they're actually out of the UK. But they really want to make shoes or have made shoes that are more fitted correctly for our feet because we are jamming our feet into these pointy shoes shoes that are very disconnected from earth. And so their shoes make you feel like you're walking, like you're grounding. So it looks like you or feels like you're not walking on anything or anything kind of cushioning you. But it's exactly how we're supposed to be. We can use our toes when we're like walking around rocks. You can actually grip things. It's not like those toed things. But
I can't wear those. I tried.
Yeah, I've tried those too. I can't do those either. But I love Vivo Barefoot. It's a great brand. And actually, they've just released one or two models of shoes that are 30% made of plants.
This is so amazing. 30% plant shoes, yeah. Vivo Barefoot. Any other ones that are talking about? Because I know in here, it keeps talking about companies that are reminding people to fall back in love with nature, mm-hmm. like REI.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody else that you talk
there, to? There's a great company called Outer. It's a furniture company. And I just met him recently and it's their whole motto is get more people outside. So we're not thinking about outdoor furniture as something that's recyclable or that's good, it's comfortable. And they spent, this guy came from so many different big brands like Pottery Barn and other things. And he decided to create Outer with his partner, business partner. And it's a fantastic concept to love going back outside with your outdoor furniture because usually it's all covered up and it's has mildew on it, all this stuff. So they want to make something that was fully sustainable and also beautiful.
And would work with weather.
Exactly. Weather of all climates, because again, like the snow and the sun, and you've got to make sure it's beautiful.
So what's nature deficit disorder?
Oh, that's a coin term that Richard Louv coined 15 or 20 years ago. He's written many books. One is called Last Child in the Woods, mm-hmm. which a lot of people have talked about, but it's nature deficit disorder is the disorder of the fact that we are separated from nature. And the more technology driven we become, the more nature we need. That children are actually losing their peripheral vision because it's a fascinating fact. So we can see a certain radius. Babies that are born now cannot. So they're actually losing their peripheral vision because they're staring at this
please.
And they're not looking out and about. So the more we study, the more we... And when I take people for walks, just for like regular wellness walks, I always say this is as much for our health as it is for... We have to teach
our children,
or our grandchildren or nieces or nephews, get them outside. Have
get
them, like,
outside.
Dirty. Like go in the mud. It's really important that we touch things and be a part of the nature and the natural biome.
You know, I have to tell you, I am so young. I can't even believe I'm 37. But
you are.
Yes.
And you look great for your age.
I'm kidding. But when I went outside as
you're
a kid, when I went outside, my mom would go, remember, be home by 5.
Yeah.
That's it. The door would open. We'd go on the bikes. We'd play in the neighborhood. We had to be home by 5.
Yep.
They didn't know where we were, what we were doing. And we were outside in the dirt and the whatever. And you
it's
come home,
so
I cut
true.
My knee or whatever. But now everyone's so afraid. They're like, don't leave the yard. I got to watch you outside. Okay, just play downstairs on your video game.
I know. I love this. Funny, just going back to Steve Nygren for a second because he told me something. They call them free range kids. Just to let them go outside again. I said, oh, I love that term.
Yes,
free range kids.
If like, chickens can do it, kids can do it. Give me a break.
But it's true. We need to just stop worrying so much and let people get dirty and get things on their hands and just play in it for a while.
And also, people are afraid. I think when I come to New York in the summer and I see how crowded Central Park is with joy, you know, people are like, oh, I'm in the sun. Or if you go to Berlin or anywhere that's kind of cold in the summer, people are like, here I am, just soak up sun. But to take your kids and make a point of going in the park, mm-hmm. like this is what we do, like going to a library, that's an unusual
Absolutely.
Thing these days. But who was here? Christo? Is that who it was that had the big orange material in Central Park?
Oh, yes.
The
yes, years ago, like
exhibits.
10 years ago or so. Yeah.
And I remember how delightful it was to walk through Central Park and turn the corner and discover another outside display.
Mm-hmm.
Even Palm Springs has a, I think it's called Desert X, where they're outdoor installations.
Yeah.
Like you have to drive to them or walk to them. They're not in a building.
That's great.
So I don't think it's that hard to find ways to get outside.
And it's not. I think it's just a matter of a mind shift of just once you start realizing how important it is. Like even the doctors, like there was a New York Times article a few months ago that said we need 20 minutes a day. That's it. I mean, that's it. I've been saying that for so long because it is so simple. Yet people are like, oh, I'll run to my gym class and I'm going to, or, you know, my yoga class and I'm going to run out of my yoga class. And you kind of drop everything, you forget because you're just in this mindset of going.
Well, the thing that cracks me up is how there are millennials in this room and I'm looking at them, how they love plants. It's like I read in
my story, saw that.
Where green plants are their new children.
You know, right? It's true.
You're trying to bring
it's
the
so
outside
true.
In.
Yeah, I think I'm so happy to see that. I heard that birding, so people like watching birds are now like the cool thing to do when you're like in your 30s. I'm like, look at that.
I didn't know that.
I've never gotten into the birds. I mean, I like to look at the birds, but I love the fact that, you know, but I think the younger generation is much better to understand the need of nature.
Well, I will start this tip thing because you and I are buddies and I want to ask you to end our wonderful chat together.
I could talk to you for like another 5 hours.
I know. I tell you, I'm sorry if you people out there don't care, but we love talking.
Okay. You're one of my favorite talkers.
Hey, we all have to be something. I'm a talker. But anyway.
You are.
If we gave tips to people, mm-hmm. you know, here's what I would say. If you like wellness and you like spas, for God's sake, find an outdoor hot spring mm-hmm. that you can go and walk from pool to pool and sit and soak and mm-hmm. watch the river go by and look at the mountains. That is, to me, nature on crack. I mean, it's like the earth hugging you. Mother Nature going, here, I built this for you. Sit down.
Just enjoy it.
Yeah.
Just enjoy it because it is a gift. Once you, again, it's that mind shift of like, it's a gift to be able to get up and walk and be outside because a lot of people can't. Yeah. You know, there are a lot of people that can't walk. A lot of people are like stuck in, you know, the hospital. And when you start thinking about what a gift it is and that we get to use it for our own health, that it's there. Like, why were you using, like, we're eating plants because it's good for us. Why are we, would we not spend time under the trees to inhale what they're giving us?
Yeah.
Those fighting sides.
I will tell, we were at this place called Pagosa Hot Springs. We're all soaking, my girlfriends and I, and we're so joyful.
I saw around. Those pictures, by the way. They were fabulous.
Was it fun?
Can we just talk about that?
Marshallplan.com. But anyway, if you listen to the old people, like the Indians who say there's no fighting in a hot spring, they're like, I come here once a month. I feel so much better. My girlfriend got Watsu, you know, in the hot spring.
Oh my gosh.
And I thought, who could not heal? All right, that's my tip. What are your tips for people that like, I don't know, should I put my coat on? What are some tips to get outside?
Well, especially in the winter, I think it's a great time because it's just a refreshing time to think about like as natural cryotherapy. So cryotherapy is a big thing that people love to do, especially in New York. I call it your natural cryotherapy. And it's much less, you know.
Costly.
Less costly and it's natural.
Although you looked really good in your little cryotherapy outfit in Miami, at the Carillon Miami. I have the pictures of that, guys, if you want to see. A little snow bunny in the cryotherapy tank.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, all right. Well,
am I turning red? Anyway, so my tip is just go outside, put your shoes on, grab your kids, grab your neighbors, grab your coworkers, and go for a walk at lunch. I mean, it's when you think about how much it can refresh you, reset your brain, it helps with your immune building. Like you don't have to take pills for all this stuff. Go outside. That's your pill. Go outside.
There's your pill.
Just go outside and just explore. And again, when you're exploring outside, you start building that creativity of things that you want to do or create. And it's an opportunity to just open your brain to new opportunities of health.
Okay. I have another tip. Get a dog.
I know. I need another dog.
Get a dog and go walking, people. Yeah, just do it. The dogs need you. You need
the
dogs.
They do. They're so good for us in so many ways.
Okay. And then when you look for the right kind of footwear. Mm-hmm. Anything?
Honestly, that's very, very personal for people. Like they're running sneakers or they want certain traction or it depends on the weather. Mm-hmm. So I have different shoes and different boots depending on snow or sleet or, you know, if it's... So I also love Merrell shoes. They're great.
Oh, yeah. I want to tell you, I just went to Maine over the Christmas break and my girlfriend arranged a hike on a sunny day. And her friend who was leading us said, get crampons for your hiking boots. And I thought, how dare she? Great hiking shoes. What is she talking about? But I got them just to be nice. Yeah. And I kept kissing her hand. Oh my gosh. Because every time it was shady, there was an ice flow. And
I bet.
I would be dead without this. So good equipment. Good equipment.
I was walking in the snow the other day, upstate New York, hiking with my boyfriend. It was lots of ice.
Yeah.
Lots of crystal. Thank God I had my good traction on my boots.
So We don't want you just to walk without the right equipment.
Exactly.
Okay, Jennifer, I just want to tell world that if they doubt anything you're saying, look up, what are we looking up? What website? Swellpublicrelations.com. And you can see pictures of Jennifer and at the Global Wellness Summit podcast. And you'll see that walking works, girls and boys, if you try it. Thanks for being with us, beautiful.
You know, you have no idea. I'm so thankful to just sit with you and talk because I could do this for hours. But thank you for having me. I really, really appreciate it. I love you.
Let's get outside.
Okay.
Here I am, everyone, with one of my favorite redheads on the planet, as one redhead to another. But mine is, of course, purchased. Anywho, you know what? I just wish I could reach out and hug you in your tent where you are. Here we are, 5 months after we talked, right?
I know. I can't believe it.
And things have changed. I mean, you know what hasn't changed in that time is that Walks with Walsh is still walking every day. Still walking. Never stopped walking.
Never stopped. I'm doing more so than ever before.
Yeah. So I'm going to say that you are the de facto eyes on the ground in New York City and New Jersey. So I will shut right up and ask you, what have you seen since COVID hit our beloved city?
Well, first of all, you're my favorite redhead. So I'm so happy to see you. My hair might look different now because it's now beachified, and I haven't had like natural blonde like streaks in my hair since like 15 years ago. So I don't know where my red hair went. But anyway.
What a nice problem to have.
I digress. Right? It's COVID, right? I don't know what's going on in the world. What's going on? It's been a surreal 5 months, especially New York City. I just actually wrote an article. I'm going to try and publish it somewhere just about walking through a pandemic and what that was like to really experience New York City in with completely new eyes. I saw a city that I grew up in, but I saw it. It was so beautiful and heartbreaking at the same time. Like the beauty of the stillness of New York City and being able to experience that every day and photograph it and write about it. I just kind of took notes every day of seeing architecture that I never saw because, you know, in your New York City, it's the buzzing of the cars and the whizzing and the humming and everything.
Taxi, yeah.
Always so loud. And for the first time, the hum was gone. The hum was absolutely gone. So you could actually hear nature for the first time. And it was... is beautiful. And at the same time, like butted up against that is the sound of the sirens, like continuously all day and all night. And that was really hard to digest.
Well, you know, Jen, we were watching you on Instagram and every day I'm in Los Angeles, you're in New York, but your pictures of an empty Fifth Avenue near Rockefeller Center, an empty Soho, an empty Madison Avenue, World Trade Center neighborhood. It was like a ghost town.
It was like a movie.
What did it feel like, Miss Jen?
Empty New York felt like a movie set that I had walked on to that was like this futuristic dystopian version of New York because it was amazing that everyone took the warning and went inside. Because I thought when Governor Cuomo and de Blasio were like, everyone has to go in, I thought, who's going to listen to that? Mm-hmm. And everyone did.
Yeah.
And everyone did. And it was amazing that the city came together and really stood still and sheltered in place. And the city was quiet, but I did get to walk. And that was my only saving grace was the ability to walk and knew it was more of like a mindful practice versus living in that state of fear. So I just kept walking.
Why do you think no one else was walking?
Terror. Sheer fear of everything. Because a lot of people were kind of messaging me saying, you know, you shouldn't be using your voice to be going outside. You shouldn't be taking these pictures. You shouldn't be outside. It's too dangerous. But as you and I, you know, we spoke about it, the fact that we have to get some fresh air. And I apologize. Again, I'm in my tent. So there are people that are walking by and
it's real.
My door is right here. Hey guys. So yeah, this is my front door. I'll show you guys. See?
So fun. And tell us where you are so that our listeners can know.
I am in Ocean Grove, New Jersey. And I've been living in this tent every summer for 31 years.
Oh, I see a lamp. I see a couch. I think it's kind of glamping, my friend. Oh, yeah, yes. So cool. Oh, yes.
There's cabin back there where kitchen, bathroom, living room is. So, yeah, it's pretty great.
So fab. So yeah. That's where you are right now. But right, you said you had to get outside. Why? What was your motivation to overcome the fear?
It was really, I think it's the fact of, you know, everyone's bottled up in these tiny apartments that we're not meant to live in New York City in these tiny apartments. Like we're supposed to live in New York outside of our apartments. So everyone in these tiny little shoeboxes of spaces, I was really worried about everyone's mental health, to be honest.
Yep.
So
yep.
My wellness practice is walking, and I always did my walks in Central Park, and I kept them going because the mayor did say we can go outside for exercise. So that was my exercise, was walking, and I ran. But really that forward motion of a gradual day by day, I could just see the sights and see the city in a new way. And it just made me feel good. The walking made me feel good in such an uncertain time. So it was this, you know, peaceful place in a weird way.
It was a saving grace. And yeah. Then what was so amazing to me, Miss Jen, is that you kept uncovering these gems, these nuggets, like during the 1918 pandemic, one of your posts was that they found that patients that were in outdoor rooms fared better. So what else did you find?
Oh my gosh, there's so much of that. Like the more I study, because of course I get like a little like nugget of info. I'm like, oh my gosh, just like you just want to know more. I want to know more. But it's all about fresh air has always been the answer. Vitamin D is always so good for us. I mean, all these like little things that have always been there, but we've been forced to, you know, buy into pharmaceuticals and to go down that trail of taking pills to fix something versus let's get to the root of something and go outside and get some fresh air. So yeah, it's just fascinating things about how important fresh air is, especially during the pandemic. And I kept talking about like moving our offices outside. Everyone should just go outside, get outside for the fresh air and for the vitamin D alone. And of course, the terpenes from the trees and what the plants are giving us and the phytoncides. And it's
The phytoncides. I remember realizing that if you hug a tree, you breathe it in, it builds your immunity. Who knew? But it's been there for decades. And you post on your Instagram, a 15 to 20 minute walk in nature helps boost creativity, boosts the immune system, blood flow, lowers blood pressure, increases energy level. What other gems have people responded to like that?
Oh my gosh. So a lot of people were talking about how much it's been helping with just calming them down. So I have clients that I talk to about walking and mindfulness walking, and you can talk about like bringing nature inside as well as going outside. But they were talking about how it's really helped soothe them and calm them down, bring them closer to their inner world. Because I tell people, don't put your earbuds in, just walk. Just walk so you can kind of hear your own thoughts instead of going down a different path. I love to run with earbuds and sometimes listen to music, but when you go for like a nice mindfulness walk, it's really good to just hear your own thoughts for a change and just listen to your body speak to you. It's always talking to you.
Yeah. And I think your recent post was showing you walking into your tent with your bare feet and you didn't care that you had dirt on your feet. Why should we walk with bare feet?
The grounding. Because we're so separated from the earth all the time. And they say like the 1970s, the worst invention, or the 60s was like the sole, the rubber sole on the shoes, because we're separating ourselves from earth. So it's really is electricity that the earth is giving us. It's constantly in alignment with us. And it's a gift. It's a gift. And we always kind of shoo it away like it's not something. And it's so real and it's so evident and obvious. And they have all these great, you know, Google it. You can see people with like electricity hold something in your hand versus someone who holds something and there's no current.
Yeah.
So.
And I love like dis-ease, like to disconnect from being at ease.
Yes.
And you're ill.
100%.
I also show, you just posted an article from the LA Times about why people want to connect with nature during COVID. What was that about?
Yeah, there's so many interesting stories. I'm seeing them like worldwide too, but really people are finding this serenity because there's so much uncertainty, but people are spending time outdoors and in nature because they're feeling more for the first time in tune with themselves. Because we've spent our lives in our boxes. Well, not this, because this isn't a box. But
it's a tent, yeah.
Spend our lives in our boxes, whether it be like in our office, in our home, in our gym, everything's indoors. We've always had this like battle with, we know we like to be outside. We know it feels good, but we have to be inside. So we're finally, for the first time, I think in our lives, been okay to go home, go or be in your own corner and do what you have to do. And people are taking time to be outside and they're really just finding joy and like saying, oh, I didn't know the trees bloom this time of year. I didn't know the plants gave off this scent, because no one has taken the time to notice the impact that nature's having on themselves. It's been beautiful to watch.
I'll never forget one of our interviews for the Leader Livecast for Global Wellness Summit was a theologian who said the birds are having a heyday. They're mating, like, because they can hear each other's mating calls. The din has quieted, right? And, you know, I'm sure you see that. How does it make you feel, Jen? I mean, from the beginning, you've said, get outside. Don't be afraid. Breathe. And now all these articles, Fauci says school should be outdoors.
Yes.
People should have parties out.
Yeah. And I'm so happy that Nature's finally getting its, it's like front page news stories, because I feel like I've been talking about this for so long. And I think it's only because we're so driven by commercials and consumerism and by what we should be taking in terms of vitamins. Well, everything for us is always out in nature. This has been going back millennia of how important nature is to our survival, and that we kind of overlooked it for so long. So seeing Fauci say that, because during the 1918, 1920 pandemic, everyone was going to school outside in New York City on boats, on barges. Like, kids, you see pictures of them like blankets, and they're on barges with their paper and their notebook. It's fascinating to see if that's going to happen more in New York City, because now de Blasio was just talking about that yesterday, that people are really asking for everyone to use the parks for school this fall.
Is that amazing? Now, yeah. Listen, we have to spend a moment, because I do believe you're an ambassador for New York City. We all love it so much, but you post things about what's still closed and what's leaving. What have been your feelings about what you've seen there?
It's a great question, because it's a very different city than it was in March and April when it was quiet and sublime in a way. There's a lot of sadness, but right now it's happening. It's heartbreaking. It's utterly heartbreaking in every way, because homeless is just, there's so much sadness because there's so much job loss and there's so much uncertainty. So many things are closed. You walk down the streets and still things are completely boarded up in my neighborhood. And of course, you see little restaurants trying to survive with a few tables outside. But if it rains, it doesn't work. It's just, it's sadness. And it's also, the crime is terrifying. And I'm from New York, and I hate saying that, but it's not a comfortable place right now.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of feel like, I'll never forget your post, Jen, where you were going through your beloved Central Park and you saw hospital beds being set up there and you started to cry.
Yeah.
And then right now, your emotion when businesses are leaving, when people are moving out, how come you're not afraid to do that? How come?
I'm not afraid to be walking in New York?
No, to share your emotions.
That's a good question too. Because I think it's important that we share the real stuff. I think it's important that we share the honesty and the vulnerability of how you feel about a certain time in a moment in history where I think people can say it's great, it's fine, New York's going to come back and rebound. And I think it's important that we share our heartache for a loss of a city that doesn't exist anymore. And it will come back, but right now it's not the city that we knew in February. Completely different city.
But the good news is, when you look at the long term, we interviewed Jackie Gifford, the editor of Travel and Leisure, editor-in-chief, and she loves New York too, of course. I remember that scene from one of the last Saturday Night Lives, you know, that were online.
Yeah.
And it just showed a dream of one of the actors out in a crowded New York. And we dream of it, right? But through history, these things have happened. After 9/11, it was kind of terrifying and scary. So I think one thing that's great, Miss Jen, is that you'll be a beacon of light and emotion and honesty through this. So we just want to thank you for that. We got you at the height of your preaching about the importance of being outside in nature. And now we've come through the storm together.
Yeah.
What is your hope for coming out the other side, my friend?
There's a lot of things, because here I am sitting in my tent and I'm not in New York City. I'm not at home right now. And I'm feeling more connected to my mission in talking about and educating and bringing more nature to people, because I feel so alive right now. And I have to go home in 2 weeks. And I don't even know if I'm going to be honest, I don't even know if I'm going to stay in New York. I haven't quite decided, which I don't know. I don't know if I want to stay.
But it's okay too, Jen. And I mean, the fact that you can post things like, "We may not understand why things happen the way they do. I will continue to live and move forward, knowing what experiences are meant to teach us on our journey. As my mom says, the dash between life and death is what builds life and character. It is the journey. I will continue to seek the beauty around me in all circumstances and be in constant gratitude." So let me speak on behalf of all of your followers and the people who love you, Miss Jen. You keep emoting, you keep telling us, you keep reporting in from the front lines, because it'll come around.
Thank you. I'm positive that's going to be a better world and that we're going to learn from each other. I think now is a time of such empathy and compassion and love for each other that I think that's what's going to come around, that we have to support each other and show kindness around the world.
Okay, sure. Well, remember, we're sending that virtual elbow tap, hug. Keep walking, girl. We'll be walking with you. We believe you now. We're going to
walk. Thank you.
Okay? We'll see you on Instagram in the meanwhile, okay?
Thank you so much for having me. I miss you, and I appreciate you and all the work and the love and the light you put out there.
Okay, well, right back at you, my friend.
Bye.